Jesus, after the resurrection, pops up behind closed doors. Behind closed doors, John chapter 20. He pops up and he shows again, he demonstrates his wounds, the wonderful wounds of Jesus. And in his wounds, Isaiah 53, verse 5, 1 Peter 2:24, we find forgiveness, we find healing, and we find peace. In the wounds of Jesus, there is forgiveness, healing, and peace. I'm gonna repeat that. In the wounds of Jesus, there is forgiveness, healing, and peace. I'm gonna do it one more time. In the wounds of Jesus, there is perfect forgiveness, perfect healing, and perfect peace. So in Jesus' name, I am believing that this year for you and your family will be a year of radical perfect forgiveness. It'll be a year of healing, but not just physical healing, mental, emotional, financial, spiritual, relational healing. How many believe God can heal everything? If you believe it, go like this, everything. Everything. Imagine living a life where everything in your life is healed. Nothing is broken. And then he releases peace. Oh, here's Jesus. He shows up behind closed doors. This is what he does. First thing he does, he goes, shalom. He says, shalom. And then he shows him the wounds. All that happens. And then when he's about to exit, you know what he does again? He goes, shalom. That's a double portion of shalom. It is a greeting, but it's a lot more than a greeting. Why are you here on this Sunday? Because you are about to be filled with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Shalom is coming for you. Shalom is gonna fill your family. In Christ, there is perfect shalom. What does that mean? In Christ, nothing is missing and nothing is broken. The enemy has been attempting to disrupt you and interrupt you. He's been trying to take your mind into different directions. The enemy's going like this. Look over here, look over here. He's trying to make you look the other way so you will take your eyes off the prize. So you stop focusing on God's purpose and promise for you and your family. But under this anointing on this Sunday in Sacramento, California, you are about to be filled not with despair, not with desperation. You and your family are about to be filled with supernatural shalom. If you believe it, real, here it is. Tell two people around you, shalom, shalom. Tell them like you believe it, shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Now, what does shalom mean in the Hebrew? There's a list. Let me give you that list. What does shalom mean? The meaning of shalom. Shalom, does it mean the absence of conflict, of pain, of problems? Shalom is a promise. It is a proclamation, a prophetic proclamation. It is a person. Shalom is a person. Here it is, shalom. According to the word of God, here's what it means. Here's what's coming your way. This is what's coming your way if you receive this word and come in agreement. Shalom is, you have that list, media team? Put the list on the screen, please. Shalom is completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, fullness, rest, harmony, reconciliation, complete, perfect, and full, a life where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. I want you to repeat with me. Shalom is completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, fullness, rest, harmony, reconciliation, complete, perfect, and full. Nothing is, and nothing is. Yeah, I don't know if you just, you really know what you just did. Christ is shalom. I said, Christ is shalom. If you're born again, raise one hand. If Jesus lives inside of you, raise both hands. If he is your everything, raise both hands and a foot. Then I want you to hear me. Go like this and say, because Jesus is my shalom, nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Somebody should praise like you have shalom. Somebody give God glory like you have shalom. You want to get the devil angry? Tell him nothing is missing and nothing is broken because Jesus is my everything. I have shalom. That's the shalom of God. This is for you and your family.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. His name shall be Prince of Shalom, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom. John 14, 27, Shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give you, let not your heart be troubled. I give you shalom. You're washed with the blood of Jesus, you have shalom. You have his resurrection power, you have shalom. You're filled with his Holy Spirit, you have shalom. Philippians 4, 7, let the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Somebody say shalom. Shalom. That shalom passes all understanding. That shalom, as a Christian, you have that peace. That's not the peace of the world. This is supernatural peace that means all of that. It means peace. You need to walk around with that peace. You need to walk around in peace. The Bible never says that shalom means the lack of problems or the absence of conflict. It is peace in the midst of the storm. It is peace when you're walking through the desert. It is peace. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow, but you still have peace because you have shalom. Christians are weird people according to the world. We are called the peculiar people because they don't understand us. We go through hell, but we go through hell with this peace. We go through problems, but we go through problem with this peace. They don't understand that. They get boggled down. How can God who loves you permit you to go through this? How can God who loves you permit you to go through that? We live in a fallen world, but the great outcome is this. People without God, they go through it and they get stuck in it. People with God, we go through it. When we come out of it, we are more blessed than before we actually got into it. When we come out of it, we are rewarded for what we went through. When we come out of it, we actually receive an anointing, a new anointing for what we went through. Is there anybody here who has shalom? Shalom has a swag. People with shalom, they walk different. They talk different. And again, it's difficult. And it's not being a hypocrite. It's not being, because we have this tension between vulnerability, authenticity, transparency. You got to be real. You got to let everybody know your pain and your story. Not everybody know your own. Not everyone. Nope. Not everyone. People of confidence, people, surround yourself with people that are anointed to bless you and help you. But don't be telling your drama to somebody who's not anointed. Don't be sharing your stuff with people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. No. But you share it with the right people. Share it with the right people. But when you're going through something, you're going, and it doesn't mean you put that smile on and it's not being fake as you have the peace of God. It doesn't mean you never cry. No, you're going through hell, you go to your room. You close the door. You get on your face. You want to have a temper tantrum? God gives you permission in his presence to have a temper tantrum. I just told you, be you, boo. You're in his presence. You want to go, God, how do you permit this? I can't believe that. Oh, my goodness. And you cry and you weep. The snot comes out. The hair gets messed up. You're discombobulated. And then why you do that? Because he's not afraid of your questions. He's not traumatized by your drama. You in his presence, you be you. But then the moment's going to come where he's going to look at you after you're done yelling at him and talking to him, and then he's gonna look at you like he did to Job. He looked to Job and said, all right, are you done? Are you done? Let me talk now. Where were you before I designed your plan for your life? Where were you before I ordained everything in your name? So then he fills you with the Holy Spirit, and you wipe out your tears, and you fix your hair, and you clean your nose. You walk out of your door, and you walk out going, shalom, 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 shalom. Don't let the devil see you sweat. Put your praise on. Put your worship on. Don't let the devil see you sweat. I said, don't let the devil see you sweat. He wants to see you broken. He wants to see you in a fetal position. You know what your praise says? Your praise confuses him. Your praise confuses the devil. The devil can't explain everything he sends your way, and yet you lift up the name of Jesus. And is there anybody here ready to aggravate hell on a Sunday afternoon and shout unto God with the voice of triumph? Somebody say shalom. Shalom. That's the peace. Peace and praise are connected. People that walk with the peace of God give them praise. Even in the most difficult circumstances, that shalom enables us to do a couple of things. With shalom,
With Shalom, number one, this is real quick. With Shalom, number one is the altar, the Gideon thing. Okay, the concept of Shalom shows up in a story. The Lord is Shalom. That phrase shows up in Judges chapter 6. It's a story of Gideon. We've heard it. We've done it before. We illustrated it here. But it's the story of a man that the Midianite marauders were just harassing the people of Israel. And they were taking away the harvest, and they were hiding in a wine press. The angel of the Lord shows up, looks at a man named Gideon, and says, "You're a mighty warrior, you have strength." Tells him, "Get out of your pit. You're about to lead this people." The guy finally freaks out when he realizes he's talking to the angel of the Lord, to heaven. And all of a sudden he says, "I'm gonna die." And the angel of the Lord says, "You're not gonna die. I just told you, you're about to lead your people. You're not gonna die." So Gideon says, "Aha, you just gave me your shalom. You gave me shalom." And then he says, "I'm gonna call you the Lord Shalom. You are Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace." And then the Lord of peace tells him, "Now that you have shalom, I want you to do a couple of things for me. Now that you have my peace, I don't give you my peace so you can post on Instagram that you have peace. I give you my peace so you can do what others before you did not do. I give you my peace." And then Gideon says, "What do you want me to do?" And the Lord says, "Now that you have my peace, I want you to take your dad's altar that he built. He built it to a false god." In other words, I'm speaking parenthetically now. You have a father. Your father and your father's father, they did things that were wrong, out of alignment, things that didn't please me. You are reaping the consequences of the decisions taken by your parents because they didn't want to follow me. So we're going to break that curse right here, right now. I said we're going to break that curse right here, right now. I'm going to do it one more time. We're going to break that curse right here, right now. So he looks at him and says, "You're going to tear down what your father built, his fake altar to Baal. You're going to tear that thing down. You're going to bring it down. I'm going to prophesy to you. You are anointed because you have shalom. This shalom will empower you to bring down everything that existed in your family that was out of alignment with the word and the will of God." Somebody shout like every lie of the devil is broken. Oh, five of you got it. How many believe that every disease that went down from generation to generation is broken with the blood of Jesus? If your diabetes, cancer, heart issues, I don't care if your grandfather died from it, your great-grandfather died from it, your father died from it. It stops right here, right now, by the authority of heaven. Somebody shout shalom. Not just physical, but financial, relational, above all, spiritual. When you have shalom, you can tear down whatever was constructed in previous generations. You are anointed to bring down everything that was constructed in your family line, out of alignment with the word and the will of God. Somebody say shalom. With that shalom, you build. He looked at him and said, "Now that you have shalom, not only tear down, but build. Don't just tear something down if you're not willing to build and replace it with something better." I'll repeat that. Do not tear anything down unless you will replace it with something better. I'm gonna do it one more time. Do not tear anything down in you or around you unless you will replace it with something better. He looks at him and says, "Tear down what your dad created that was wrong, but I want you to build something that's right." Now I'm gonna speak to you prophetically. I got this in Colombia. Holy Spirit gave me this for you. You are about to build something. You're a builder, you're a producer. You're about to build something that will outlast you. What you're gonna build will give Jesus all of the glory. What you are gonna build is gonna be anointed, and I feel the Lord. It's gonna be so blessed and anointed. What you're gonna build will be so great that it will advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Hear me, the devil's been trying to distract you because you are not just a consumer, you're a producer. You're about to build something amazing right now. So I want you to get ready in the name of Jesus. If you believe that your building begins in 2024, if you believe that this is the year you will begin to build for something for your family, something amazing that will give God all of the glory, give him your best praise of this day and this Sunday in this auditorium. Lift up your hands, repeat after me, "I'm about to build something." Say it like you believe it. "I'm about to build something in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. I'm about to build something that will usher in shalom for my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. Give them praise like you're about to build it and see it come to pass. Somebody shout shalom. All my builders, lift up your hands. All those that have a dream, a vision, God placed something in your heart, lift up both hands. All of you that have crazy visions, like the cuckoo for Cocoa Puff, that if your neighbors and your friends would hear, they would think you're cray-cray. Lift them up really high. This church is a church of radical, Christ-centered, born-again people that are about to build things that will change the world for Jesus. No, you're not hearing me. You're not called to be the tail, you're called to be the head. I'm gonna prophesy to somebody right now. I'm gonna speak prophetically. That means I'm gonna speak into your future, your now and your next, through the word of God and the spirit of God. Not out of wishful thinking, but undergirded with God's word. Some of you have lost some stuff in the past season, in the past weeks, in the past years. Every time you accumulated resources, the enemy came around right when you thought you were there. Matter of fact, I hear the words almost there. You were almost there and the enemy showed up and robbed. In the name of Jesus, put a smile on your face. The anointing of shalom will enable you to secure the fact that the enemy will never again be able to rob any of the resources necessary to build what God has ordained in your life. That should provoke at least two hallelujahs and an amen and a shout unto God. I dare you to look at your neighbor, tell him, I'm about to do this. I'm about to build this. Somebody say shalom. Look at your neighbor, tell him nothing is missing. And nothing is broken. No, say it prophetically. Say, nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. If you're next to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, or your husband, just go, nothing is missing. And nothing is broken. If your friends are around you, tell them, nothing is missing. And nothing is broken. And now tell them, get used to it. Get used to seeing me like this. Get used to seeing me blessed and anointed. Get used to be favored. Get used to seeing me where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. When you have shalom, you tear down. When you have shalom, you build. Things that outlast you. When you have shalom, over there, watch this. We're shalom. The guy said shalom. And then the Lord says, oh, one more thing. You see that Asherah pole right there? That big pole in the middle of your village? Reminding everyone that they are now worshiping a new God, not the real God. Yeah. The one built by the officials and the leaders. Yeah. He looks at him and says, you have shalom? Yes, you gave me shalom. Hence, I call you the Lord of Shalom. I build the altar. I call it the Lord of Shalom. And then the Lord says, good. Cut it down. I'm sorry, but it's against the law. Cut it down. They'll kill me. Cut it down. All right, I'm gonna cut it down and I'm gonna throw away in the garbage. Don't throw away in the garbage. Huh? Cut it down. That's a wood pole. Cut it down. Use the wood to fuel your altar. What does that mean? With this anointing of shalom, whatever the enemy has constructed around you, you're about to bring it down. It's about to release an anointing upon your life that will fuel the next chapter and season of your life. Somebody shout, cut it down. Cut it down. Matter of fact, open up your mouth and say, it's coming down. Everything the devil has created in my mind, in my atmosphere, in my finances, in my health, in my generation, it's coming down in the name of Jesus. And it will be converted into an anointing that will fuel the next season of my life. That's shalom in the Old Testament. Shalom in the New Testament is a story of Jesus where he released shalom. The word shalom shows up. They're in the boat. Jesus is resting. He's sleeping. The word there is shalom. Go to Matthew Media Team quickly, please. Don't take away my shalom. And they are in the boat. And when somebody go back there and talk to the media team real quick. And when they are in shalom, because before I lose my shalom. So shalom, shalom. So they're in the boat. And when, there it is, shalom. That's the wrong one. Be born again back there. When they're in the boat,
Jesus is resting. He's in shalom. He gets up. The wind is so great that it's provoking the waves to fill the boat with water. The disciples wake up Jesus and say, we're about to perish. And Jesus gets up. And the disciples say, the waves, the waves, the waves. They're provoking the water to fill the boat. And then Jesus comes along and he speaks. He gets up and he speaks into the wind. The disciples talked about the waves. Jesus spoke into the wind. The disciples spoke about the waves. Jesus spoke into the wind. The disciples focused on the effects. Jesus got up and addressed the cause. When you have shalom, you don't focus on the effects. You get up with authority and you have the power to rebuke the wind and to speak peace into the storm. Hey, don't speak about it, speak into it. Tell your neighbor, don't speak about it, speak into it. If there's a family member of yours that's restless right now, don't speak about them, speak into them. Stop speaking about your problem, speak into your problem with the anointing of shalom. Somebody say shalom. Shalom. And the Apostle Paul brings it to closure. The Apostle Paul tells us not only that we have the peace that passes all understanding. In Thessalonians, he brings it to conclusion by telling us, the Lord of shalom fill you with shalom. In every circumstance, every single day, in all that you do, let the Lord of shalom himself give you the shalom at all times in every way. That's God's promise. You have shalom. Christ is your shalom. In Jesus, nothing is missing and nothing is broken. That shalom empowers you to tear down the false, to build the real that will outlast you, to use what the enemy has constructed to fuel the next season of your life. That shalom enables you to speak into it, not just speak about it. Open up your mouth. Release that shalom. That's the power of God. Regardless of what you go through, you have the peace that passes all understanding. Never let the enemy see you sweat. Don't let the devil see you sweat. Be in your room. Can somebody else see me sweat? Sure, come in agreement with somebody who could pray with you. But the moment you get up and leave that room, shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. So how are we going to conclude right now? If you are fully committed to receiving that shalom anointing, that this year and for the rest of your life, you will live with shalom, shalom. That peace, that means everything we outline. If you're ready to receive all of that in your life, every single item, walk in it. If you are fully committed to living a life in Christ where nothing is missing and nothing is broken, and there's not a devil in hell, a demon on earth, a woman or a man that can ever rob you of the peace that God has given you, I want you to jump on your feet and shout, shalom, shalom. Say it like you believe it. Somebody shout, shalom, shalom. Tell the person next to you, get used to it. Get used to it. Shalom, 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 shalom.